Hey, speaking of the 49ers, you realize they clinched a playoff spot last night by virtue of the Packers losing to the Giants. Yeah, we had two Monday night games at the same time last night. Very strange, and what a collapse for the Dolphins. This is the Drive, guys, but Kyle Draper's not here today. A little under the weather. So Jay not only running the show, but also keeping us on track and filling in for Kyle, which we appreciate. And last night, Jay, it's funny the things that irritate me when I'm watching basketball. Last night, I'm looking at, like, third quarter, I'm looking at the shooting numbers for the Kings, and they were 50-plus percent from the floor, and they were over 50% from the three-point line, and they were under 70% from the foul line. And I'm like, how can you be shooting better than 50% from the floor and 50% from the foul line, and you can't make 70% of your free throws? They ended up at 71%. 71.4 from the foul line, didn't shoot many. But bottom line,
Coach Gleason over there. That's Coach Gleason talk.
Yeah, you got to make your free throws. An incredible night, as a King said, of course, franchise record. 25 of 45 from the three-point line, and they were all within the flow, and it was fun to watch. And I'm sure it wasn't fun to try to guard for the Nets last night.
And when the Kings are cooking, man, they sizzling. No grease needed.
Yeah.
When they are doing what they need to do, it's beautiful basketball, and they're a team to be reckoned with on the offensive end. As we started this show, defensively, they lack what a lot of people need to be considered a championship team, but that's down the future. That's down the road. I think if they could take the necessary steps within this season, hopefully, we'll talk about it when April and May turn around for us.
That's the hope, is that, you know, they are going to be better there. And they've had two games in a row now where they've held the opponent to under 20 points in a quarter. Because against the Suns, I think the Suns had a 12-point third quarter, if I'm not mistaken. And last night in the first quarter, the Nets only had 18. And the Kings came out and built up that early 8-point lead. But just look at this, the shooting from the front court last night, 3-point shooting. Barnes was 3-for-4. Keegan was 4-for-4, Sabonis 1-for-1, and then you had Trey Lyles 5-for-6.
Man.
I mean, they were crushing it. And, yeah, as I said, a franchise record, 25 made threes, and only 18 times in the history of the NBA has anybody made more threes in a game. The record is 29 by the Bucks in 2020. So, I mean, it's not hard to imagine them breaking that record this year.
Oh, no. That record will probably be flipped 5, 6, 7, 8 times coming up soon. You know, The way the NBA is right now, you're pulling 63s a game.
Yeah.
So I could see that record dropping any day.
Mm-hmm.
Kings maybe, you know, Kings probably have their toe in the water when it comes to that record as well.
Yep. So the question is here, can the Kings be offensively the team they were last night and still be a really gritty defensive team? I know we've heard guys like, we've heard Kevin Huerter, Davion Mitchell talking about how it's hard to get out and run when they want us to focus on defense. But I think we're seeing signs that it can happen. I mean, Keegan Murray, when you watch him last night, he works really hard on defense, and he had a great offensive night, 9 of 13, 4 of 4. And he worked really hard on Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges is a really good player, had a strong night, and for much of the game, Keegan Murray outplayed him, and that's a great sign for a guy that you're looking to be one of your foundational pieces going forward, coming off a bad back.
I think you're spot on. Two parts of that statement you just said, Whitey, is a few things. The way Keegan goes is probably the way the Kings are going to go when it comes to being progressing further in the playoffs, becoming a championship contender. That's first and foremost. He hasn't been healthy. We know he's got a back problem. One thing about a back and a hamstring, those are two places I know that
one you, more, I would say.
Okay.
Right,
oh, yeah.
Right between.
The groin.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you're 100% right on that. I try not to even think about that because it brings pain to my heart.
I know.
ASAP.
For an infielder, it's like, yeah, no thanks. Yeah.
Quick hands, brother. But I think we have to look ourselves in the mirror and understand the way Keegan goes a lot is the way this team is going to progress. And we just got to be honest with that. A lot is on Keegan's shoulders. He hasn't been 100% healthy. We got to give him that. But we also expect, again, here we go, expectations, production. What do you produce compared, you know? And he's not getting paid the big money just yet. but he got picked at a high number, a high draft pick. So now expectations are on his shoulders a little more when it comes to that. The other part of it, too, is, and I've heard Kevin Herter, I've heard, I think you said HB, or I can't remember
Davion.
Who you said, Davion,
yeah.
A couple of guys who've said that, man, that's BS. I'm going to call it. Because we've seen championship teams, Warriors, you know, and again, I know they have Steph Curry. I'm not demeaning that. But there are teams who can put up 120 and play good defense.
Mm-hmm.
You just haven't got there yet. If you want to tell me it's hard, that's cool.
Right.
Understandable.
Right.
But if you're telling me that can't be done.
Yeah, one has nothing to do with the other.
That's I don't care who you are. That's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And that's straight up. And I'll look a person in the eye and tell them that. I'm not going to turn around on that. The fact of the matter is you can do both. That's considered greatness. You got to be great. You want to be win a championship, Whitey? Go be great.
Yep.
That's what it is. That's
not
what
easy.
It takes. It's not. So if you want to be, look, there are guys who put in, we talked about Zion. You ain't going to, he's probably not going to win a championship in the way he's operating right now, because the team relies on him to be a part of that. The Sacramento Kings rely on Kevin Herter to be great. Not good, but great. Go do it, big fella.
Right.
In the words of Kyle Draper, big fella, go do it.
Yes.
Go do that.
Yeah.
Be great. Grasp that greatness. I'm not saying he can't be. I'm just saying go do it. I'm the type of person, whining straight up, and you see I'll get fired up about this. You're not going to tell me I can't do something. I'm going to go do it. And if I don't, then I'll look myself in the mirror and say, I just couldn't do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get to the mountaintop. But you're not going to say, I'm never going to say I can't do it.
Right.
I would never say those words.
Right.
Absolutely. So when I heard those things, I'm like, I understand you lost tonight, but that's not part of it. And that's where me, Jay, I start to look at this team and say, I don't know. Because greatness doesn't say that. They say we didn't get it done tonight, but we're going to be better tomorrow with this same situation.
What I hear you saying is, I think it's something that anybody that's, played in high school, is true. And when I did some coaching, I used to tell players this, and this was, like middle school, but, it's basketball. And the thing is, a thing like what we're talking about, it's not complicated. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's
correct.
Simple. You just got to put your mind to it, recognize it, and do it. It's not easy, though. It's not complicated, but it's just a matter of working hard and focusing on what you have to focus on. At the moment, you have to focus on it. I think that's where, to a degree, this team is with this. And I think, best of all, we are seeing signs that they're making progress.
Absolutely. Why can't you be great on both sides? It's not, as you said, it's not easy. It is hard to go win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard to be great. If it was easy to be great, then there'd be a lot of greatness around us.
Right.
I hate the fact when people throw out the word great too many times. You're good. You're okay. You're above average. I see what you're doing, but greatness is different.
Right.
And that's what is required to win a championship. Who's won a championship and wasn't great? Very few people. Very few teams, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's this also as an indicator that the Kings are making progress. This is a little wonky, but I think, I'll cut to the chase here. When the Warriors won their last championship, 2022, when they beat Boston, Mike Brown, part of the staff, one of the things that Steve Kerr said early in the year, they got off this great start, like 18-3, and people were asking Steve Kerr, what is surprising you the most about this team? And he said, you know what? We're number one in defensive rebounding percentage. Which is when there's defensive rebounds available, the Warriors were getting a higher percentage of those than anybody else. Well, I just checked this morning. The Kings right now are number one in that stat. Defensive rebounding percentage. Now, the problem for them is because they don't defend that well, there aren't as many misses. More of them go in.
Opportunity.
But the ones that are missed, they get a higher percentage of them than anybody else. And, with rebounding, defensive rebounding, a lot of your defensive possessions that are successful, that's how it ends. As they miss, we get the rebound. That are the turnovers. So if you're getting a high percentage of those, that's a real good indicator that things defensively are headed in the right direction. And forget Pascal Siakam and Zach LaVine. It's all about with this team defense. If they play better defense, they might accomplish some things. If they don't, it's not going to matter who they trade for.
Yeah, agreed. Unless you're going to get a defensive stopper or someone more emphasis
right.
on the defender, on playing defense versus offense. And I think that's the argument. And that's why we continue to keep on seeing you know, the conversation of, well, Harrison Barnes can, you know, or Kevin Herter or Malik Monk should start, or where's Davion? You know, it's the deficiency of what's going on with the Kings. And so most fans are looking for the answers on that side of the ball. But I think you're spot on, Whitey. I really like what you said, big fella. I like – it's not simple. It's not easy.
Yeah.
You just got to go do it sometime. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if you can't – and this is the thing. I tell my daughter this all the time. Try and figure it out. Try 3, 4, 5, 6 different ways before you come talk to me. And if you can't do it, then we'll try to do it together.
Right.
Understandable. It's a different, you know, a different metaphor, but I'm also saying this. If the Kings can't do it the way they're, you know, constructed, then it is time to make some moves. It is time to spend on some of these guys who are deficient in what they're looking for. And that's okay. And one thing Kings fans got to understand is that's all right. Mm-hmm. It's okay. And that's the thing with Drapes. You know, that's the conversation I think a lot of people are pushing to Drapes. It's like, yeah, folks love HB. But if he can't do with some of the things that he's deficient in, then maybe it's time to try to upgrade. There's nothing wrong with that. Beyonce said, let me upgrade you. Come on now. What's wrong with you?
The Kings are not right now. They're not a great team. But they have a trait that all great teams have. We'll tell you what that is when we come right back here. It's a drive, guys. Jay's in for Drapes today. Sacktown Sports. Sack chat, pardon me. Full of love for JJ, who's in for Drapes today. Amidrox says, JJ's takes are always sound. We got here Scooter 916. I love when JJ's on the mic. Enjoy the way he talks, too. Yeah, he's just really shy. It's just hard to get on the mic. Right? You're just really... JJ's so
quiet as a mouse over here, brother.
Yeah, man, he's too legit. JJ was spitting heat. So it's great to have JJ.
I appreciate that.
Especially when we have no Kyle Draper because he's a little under the weather. Hopefully he'll be back soon. I guess second half of the show yesterday, he said, I'm not feeling too well. And then... his throat tightened up on him, but hopefully he'll be back.
He's doing well. I was looking forward to seeing him today to talk about his birds, but
that's probably contributing to his
Lord. I mean, I would feel bad as well. Whitey, wouldn't you?
Yes. Okay. And it's a few weeks ago when we'd go back and forth on the Eagles, he'd say something, and I'd be like, but and then now it's just he says, well, they still are tied for the best record, and you just feel like, yeah. It's okay. It's going to be okay. Just feel sorry for him. Because as of right now, and yes, to Jay's point, there's a lot of pizza left in the box. This thing could still go any which way. But as of right now, the Eagles are a stinking wild card team.
Man, that's tough. That's got to be a tough pill to swallow. Uh-huh. You get one of them big horse pills you got to swallow from the doctor. Know that. That's tough, man. That's
on the other hand,
situation.
If things do end up going sideways for the Niners and the Eagles end up, you know, boy, we're going to hear about it. We're going to hear about it. I mentioned something that the Kings have in common with great teams, and I hope no one was offended when I said they're not a great team. I mean, I'm talking about a great team. The Kings are not a great team. They haven't even won anything yet. But one thing they have in common with great teams like, you know, the Spurs with Tim Duncan that won multiple championships and the Warrior teams that won multiple championships, I think you could even include some of those Laker teams, Showtime Lakers, the best players want to be coached. The best players on this team, and G-Man mentioned it yesterday, I think, when we were talking to the G-Man, the best players on this team, Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, they're like, yes, they want Mike Brown to coach him hard. And that's one thing that all the great teams have. You have your best players, and they're like, yeah, that's for the other guys. I don't want to do that. It really limits how far you can go. So that speaks not only – and everyone gives Mike Brown credit, as they should, but I'm not sure the players on this team get enough credit for looking at what he had to offer – looking at the situation and saying, yep, I'm going to totally buy into this. Even this guy's asking a lot of me. He's asked me to do things I've never done, but I'm bought in totally to that.
That's greatness.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
it puts you on that path.
Absolutely. Someone sees something in you that you may not see, or maybe that you felt internally and it hasn't been able to be brought out, you know, from you. Man, that's greatness, brother. And one thing about Mike Brown, he's been around it. Mm-hmm. He's been around, you say, the Popoviches, the Warriors and all those type of guys.
LeBron
James,
Kobe. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so I'm pretty sure he has a great eye on what it needs to, you know, what it's going to take for the Kings defensively, for some of these stars to be, as you said, coachable. Domantas Sabonis, De'Aaron to take the next steps in being great in their, you know, in their career. And I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I think it's fun times and what we're getting to see right now. Whitey, it's almost, and here we go, Sacramento Kings, you know, 2002s and all that type of stuff. That team, it's trending towards a good run here for Sacramento. And if they can get to the precipice of the, you know, of a championship, we'll see. I know we're speaking, you know, big goals and big terms, but if they can put together, and I'm just going back now to this season, if they can put back-to-back playoff, you know, seasons together, that's a success, brother.
Yeah, I agree. Jay, I think you touch on an absolute key for Kings fans, especially anybody who remembers those teams, 2000, 2002, because last year the Kings came out of nowhere. They make the playoffs first time in 17 years, and a lot of us instantly assume, well, that's it. This year, 50 wins or whatever, compete for a title. And maybe, but if you remember those teams, the Jay Will teams initially at C-Web, it took them a while. They had to build. They got into the playoffs and they lost to Utah. Got into the playoffs, they lost to the Lakers. Got into the playoffs the next year, finally won a series against Phoenix, and they still lost to the Lakers. Then it was the next year that probably had their best team and things didn't go their way. But we're talking about a 4 or 5 year arc there.
Yes.
You know, Kings fans now are like, well, let's go. They made the playoffs last year, so come on, let's win a championship.
No, it's probably not going to be that. I mean, look, if they do, then, hey, celebrate.
Right. But I'm with you. To me, if they make the playoffs this year, which they should, to me, that's another thing. Like, that's a good season.
Absolutely. You build on it. And expectations, production, what comes with it, you know. Then come next season, it's, okay, now we're all looking in a room, and maybe you do upgrade a piece, or maybe the pieces that are in-house takes the next steps, which we're seeing with De'Aaron and DeMontis and hopefully Keegan and Malik Monk. You know, I don't think – and let me say this. When Malik Monk came to Sacramento, I don't think anybody expected Malik Monk to be – and if they did
– I know I did.
Kudos to you. Mm-hmm. Shouts out to you because you called it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think anyone thought he could be what he is now. He is borderline sixth man of the year. He's in the conversation.
Yes.
With
no
Cole
question.
Anthony, probably Tim Hardaway Jr.,
mm-hmm.
Those are probably the three leading guys.
We
right
got a
now.
Ways to go still.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But he was in the conversation last year. And if you can become that perennial, then now we're talking about being great at what he does as a sixth man. And so that's the goals for the Kings here, is just what you're saying, building on it. I don't expect the Kings to win a championship this year. I didn't expect them to win it coming in. But I did expect them to make it back to the playoffs, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Monk is another key to this that we're talking about. You want to call it culture, which maybe is an overused term, but whatever you want to call it. Because Monk, you look at Monk, you know that he could start on a lot of teams. He could start on this team. He's good enough.
Should be.
Does he make an issue of that?
Nope. No.
You know he knows it, and it kind of reminds me of Bobby Jackson, which I mentioned to him on Media Day. But he doesn't make an issue of it. He says, hey, if we win, we all win.
Yeah.
So the fact that he is another guy who's willing to look at this and go, huh, this maybe you could say is not an ideal situation for me, but all right, I see I want to win. I'm going to buy in. Yeah.
I think Malik understands just what you're saying, not only the role, but what can come down the pot at the end of the rainbow.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, I think he sees there's an opportunity at the end of this for something to be great. And he's getting to do it with one of his buddies. He's probably getting to do it with, you know, friends, family around. I see him down at the arena. You know, he's got his family around quite a bit.
Can the Kings keep him next year? He's going to be a free agent.
I think you have to. I mean, I think you have to go big. You got to pull out your purse, you know, your pocketbook, and you got to put some coins down. And
I
should say probably dollar bills, not coins. It's going to take some dollar bills to keep Malik. But I think you absolutely have to, a la Bobby Jackson type situation, because they're building something here. And I'll be honest. De'Aaron Fox is doing what he's supposed to do. And he's far exceeded my expectations than what I thought he would be. But I do believe, and I'm not taking anything away from him, I think the fact that he had Malik come here has created a level of comfort.
Yeah, I think
you
so.
You know, you can't tell me it doesn't have something to do with it.
You can almost see it.
Yes.
You can almost see it on the court when it's happening.
Yes, he's a running buddy. He's a mate.
Yeah.
And you know what? Since Malik has come here, De'Aaron's been a little more fiery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's been a little more fiery. And look, I don't mean to be like this, but sometimes people can give you courage. You know, I didn't see De'Aaron in people's faces 2 years ago.
Right.
Malik came here, and all of a sudden, you know, his chest out a little bit.
Yep.
So I think Malik has definitely helped him in other ways besides, you know, putting the ball in the hoop.
Yesterday we heard a lot of talk and read a lot of talk about the Kings maybe making a deal, maybe being in on Siakam or Ananobi, and we're going to talk about on the hour with Brendan Nunes about that, where that may be, where that may go, and we don't know where it may go. But I think bottom line, if the Kings have to give up anything that's of value to them going forward for a player that may not be here next year, if that's what it amounts to, I don't think they make that move.
I agree.
Because then it's like you're putting everything in on this year, and then, whoop, now we got to start rebuilding again. And the way they are, to the point we were just making, the fact that they're building something, you know, and it may not be in linear fashion that they get better and better, it would be foolish to go all in on a guy this year that might make you a lot better, but maybe not. I don't think they'll do it.
You go all in when you feel you can win a championship. I think the move will tell us. If they believe they can go get a Pascal for 1 year and maybe take the shot of keeping him, then that lets me know Monty, Mike, the staff down there, Jordy, Coach Christie, all those guys, they believe they can win a championship. Mm-hmm. If they swing for that, if they go towards a OG or, you know, someone who's a little younger, maybe, you know, a Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, someone who might be able to come back or is on a longer deal, then I think, you know, they probably have their eye on the window of the next 2 or 3 years.
Right. And I think there's an etiquette to it, too. And I was talking to a writer last night who was nice enough to kind of
who was that writer?
Me
you
on
drop
some
his
of this.
Name?
He said, you can't quote me on any of this.
Oh, okay. Don't say his
but
name.
And he was very nice. And he was kind of disagreeing with something I had said on the air. But, you know, you can – teams can talk to guys' camps. Not just the team, but the players' camp sometimes. And then you get an idea what the player wants to do. And they can give you an indication. I think – John Hollinger even talked about this today in The Athletic. A player can give an indication to teams that, hey, I might be interested in re-signing with you if you do something. So the Kings, it's not like they would be flying blind necessarily.
Of course.
And if
not.
They were, then they're just, yeah, it just makes no sense to do something like
Shouts
that.
Shouts out to that writer for lightweight telling the truth. Uh-huh. Let me tell you something, Whitey. Everybody talks to everybody.
Yeah.
We know that. Man, I don't want to hear all that. No one knows. We haven't had a conversation and all that stuff. Man, it's insiders making a living on talking to people.
Right, right.
Stop all that. And the fact of the matter is people have been snitching for years.
Mm-hmm.
People have been tattletelling for years. We have games, children's games. We have names and monikers and stuff like that. Everybody talking to everybody. You talking to somebody. Believe it.
Speaking of insiders, do any of the Kings trades that we're hearing about, do they make sense? We'll find out from our Kings insider, Brendan Nunes, joins us next year. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. So Drive Guys here with Jay in today. Kyle Draper has a day off. Hopefully he's back with us tomorrow. All guests appear courtesy of the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline, Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. And we're going to go inside now in the Sacramento Kings because nice enough to join us from SacktownSports.com, our Kings insider, the one, the only. Sure, he puts mayo on his hot dog, but who doesn't, right? Brendan Nunes, who got mad at me last night because I also had mustard in addition to the mayo. What was that about, Brendan?
Well, Whitey, you've just been vocal about being on my side, and
I felt like you
switched over, you know.
I did have mayo on the hot dog.
You did.
Yeah.
And to be fair, mustard. I don't even feel that strongly about this take, but I'm leaning into it.
Okay. All right. Let me ask you this. If last night for the Kings, if that was a statement win for them, what was the statement?
That their offense is still among the league's best, you know, right up there with where Indiana's at this year. They haven't shot the ball very well throughout the course of this season, and I think that's pretty atypical. You could really look at Keegan Murray. Trey Lyles has had a tough start since he's come back from that calf injury. So I think just the shots going down at, you know, obviously a little bit of an unreasonable rate when you're setting a franchise record for made threes, but they create good looks. Coach Brown mentioned post-game that I think they were 30th in catch-and-shoot three-point percentage coming into the game.
Hmm.
That wasn't going to last. I don't think they're going to put up 131 every single night, but this team still is the same core that was the best offense of all time last year. And while I do think that teams have them figured out to an extent, they know what's coming, I guess I should say, rather than figured out, the offense is going to be better than what we saw for the majority of this year and probably closer to that game against Brooklyn, even if it's not the full extent.
Now, Brendan, is it just me or are there signs there that the defense is also improving? I know last night was about the offense and the three-pointers, but For the second game in a row, the Kings held an opponent to fewer than 20 points in a quarter. And they're also number one now. We were just discussing this, Jay and I. They're number one in the league in defensive rebounding percentage. So are there indications that, yeah, they're making progress on that side of the ball as well?
I think progress, but still plenty to be made. Like that third quarter in Phoenix obviously was great. We've seen a couple of quarters where they've played really well. I think there was a couple third quarters even against those New Orleans games. So I think you've seen more encouraging moments of progress, but it's still very rare for them to put together 40, even close to 48 minutes of defense for an entire game. So I think there's been progress. I think you've seen a lot of progress from Keegan, from De'Aaron, and some verticality progress from Domantas Sabonis as well. But team-wise, like they still... they're a flawed roster defensively. You look at the 2-4, Kevin Huerter, Keegan Murray, Harrison Barnes, and when Domantas Sabonis is your backline there, like it's just not a recipe for a good defense. So I think that there has been progress, but I would definitely still call it a shortcoming right now.
Was keeping Trey Lyles one of the biggest moves of the offseason that maybe we didn't realize how big it was at the time?
Yeah, I mean, I think Trey's a really important piece to this team. I think he provides a little bit of an edge. Like you could think last year to his little altercation with Brooke Lopez, or he had something with Jonas Valanciunas early this year. And obviously sometimes those can go a little bit over the line, but I think Trey does a good job of not starting anything and more so just reacting, and the guys rally around that, and he gives them some positional versatility, which I think this team can lack a little bit, being able to play the four or the five, fully lean into that offense and still totally battle. So I think that Sasha Vezenkov's emergence has probably lessened Trey's role a little bit throughout the course of this season. But, you know, he shared yesterday, like he's still working back into ideal conditioning from having that time off at the beginning of the year with the calf. So I still think we've yet to see the best of Trey, but absolutely, I think that he's an important piece to this team.
Brendan Nunes, our Kings insider with us here, SackdownSports.com. Brendan, I'm wondering what you made of the talk yesterday, actually the reporting, I should say, from Shams that the Kings are expected to be in on talks for Ananobi, Siakam. Where do you think that all is right now? Where do you think it ends up?
Yeah, I mean, I would guess that this has probably been the case for at least the course of last season as well. You know, we saw their name come up in some of these conversations, and honestly, it feels like the Kings' name come up in a lot of conversations. I think that they're very aggressive, but patient. You know, they know that another move needs to be made if we're going to talk about this team reaching the level of eventual championship contention. And that's obviously the final goal. I still think you need that third head to the snake. And the way that you get that in a city like Sacramento is going out and trading for it. And obviously, Monty McNair comes from under Daryl Morey, where they're known for going out and trading for stars. And I think that eventually we're going to see that. And I think Pascal Siakam falls into that. I think OG Anunoby is kind of at the bottom of that tier, but somebody that could grow with this group and fits a similar timeline age-wise. So I think it makes sense. And I'd imagine most names that come up that are 3-4s and forwards wings, that the Kings are probably going to at least poke around a little bit.
Jay, is it just me, or would you not like to hear what Brendan has to say about the items behind him?
I was looking. I saw the A's hat that was in the mirror, and I don't mean to be peeping your backstory there, Brendan, but I saw the A's. You know, I'm an A's guy, but I'm in a flux with my A's gear, brother.
Yeah, could you tell us about the relics you have, what they mean? Keep in mind that, you know, for those who are not on YouTube, they will need you to describe what it is that you're showing us here.
Yeah, no problem.
Baby Trunners in the back. Are those like baby Jordan Trunners or something?
Those are my Jays from when I was a little baby. You know? So I kept those, my little Jays over there. Anybody that can't see, I just moved recently, so I still got to do a lot to my background here. But
nice.
Yeah, I got some jerseys from when I was a little kid, a Jason Richardson jerseys from the Warriors.
Yeah.
Old Jason Kidd, New Jersey, T-Mac. From the Magic days.
Love T-Mac. Love T-Mac, you know? Big time.
And when it comes to the baseball hats, I fully committed recently to I do not care what baseball team hats I wear, except the Dodgers. That's the one I'll refuse to wear.
Good for you.
And I just want to be able to buy some cool hats, man. I haven't watched a baseball game in a while, I will admit.
You know what, Brendan and Whitey? I'm kind of going in that role now that the A's are gone.
Yeah.
Or it looks like they're going to be gone. And I'm in my feelings. I'm in my emotions. I can admit that. I'm almost to the point I'm just looking for dope hats now.
Yeah.
And I'm with Brendan. I'm not wearing the Dodgers. I'm not wearing, you know, a Boston Red Sox. I'm not wearing a, like, there's three or four teams I just can't put on.
Yeah.
The Giants, I'm fighting. Don't do it.
I just brought back, Jay, from Japan. I brought back Oryx Buffaloes and Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks.
Ooh, you got to show me. Take a picture when you get home and let me see it.
I will do it.
what's the latest hat you cop there, Brendan?
It's probably just this A's one that's got I think Whitey was educating me the other day, I will admit. I got the 74 patch on the side, World Series 74 patch. Yeah, this was some place downtown Doko. So we're working on it. I saw a Rangers hat the other day that tempted me a little bit. Honestly, I'm kind of just leaning into colors and, like Jay said, avoiding.
I'm going to jump on that Ranger bandwagon, huh? Okay. Yeah.
It's a hat.
Hey, sure, just a hat. What is one thing the Kings, maybe the one thing you'd say the Kings need to do against the Clippers to end their winning streak? That's a team that scares me, the Clippers. They kind of give me the creeps.
Yeah, they've been rolling recently. I think that they've gotten to a rhythm with their different guys, obviously extremely talented, but they're a team that kind of slows the game down. And I think the Kings need to maintain their pace and really be the ones that do control the speed of the game. Obviously, the Kings play best when they're running up and down the court. Getting stops is really what catapults all of that in the apex of it. So I think it's about maintaining your pace. Like, we don't know if threes are going to go down at the same rate. Probably going to be a little bit sloppy. You know, the Clippers played a close game that probably shouldn't have been close, considering they were going against the Trailblazers last night. But PG plays, I think, 41 minutes. Kawhi is right around 39. Yeah. So these guys have a little bit of miles on them from last night, but obviously the Kings do too. So I think finding a way to maintain your pace and play at your own rhythm rather than conforming to the Clippers a little bit, slowing it down, will be big tonight.
Do you think the Kings at some point this season will break the single game record for most threes, which is 29? They had, 26 last night? Will they break the record? They had 25 last night, pardon me. Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Come on, Brandon.
Do you know when the record was set? It's got to be recent years, right?
The Bucks over the Heat.
Yeah, I'm going to go with no because it feels like a safer answer, but I think they have a chance. I think there's probably about four teams in the league that have a real chance, and the Kings are definitely one of them.
All right. Brendan Nunes for great Kings coverage. Check him out, sackdownsports.com. Thanks, Brendan. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Feel like I really know him now that he kind of took us around his little, you know, bedroom there and all little jerseys and stuff he has in there. Thank you, Brendan Nunes. By the way, a number that we haven't talked about, you know, last night, the Kings with the win, 25 threes. They also had 38 assists last night. That is a staggering number, which again is an indication that the offense functioning at a high level. Obviously, they scored a lot of points. So, yeah, they were functioning at a high level. But sharing the ball, 38 assists on just 48 makes. So, right now, that offense is clicking. I don't know, Jay. It's just there's something about the Clippers. They just kind of scare me. I always want to say, they're old. There's not enough basketballs there. But there's something about them. You know, Kawhi just, when he finds it, he is like one of the best players I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, they're still dangerous. PG-13 is a... He single-handedly carried the Clippers last year in that triple overtime game. And you got Kawhi, you know, they got some tough cookies down there.
Mm-hmm. When we come back, take a look at another incredible Ohtani number. I mean, if you're going to pay $800 to see Ohtani in the Dodgers opener, don't you think you'd at least get to sit down for that? The answer is no. And we've got that coming up here with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. So we know that the Giants did not get Shohei Ohtani, who goes to the Dodgers for, $70 million a year, $68 million a year deferred. But the Giants have signed somebody today. It's Whitey and Jay in today. Kyle Draper, a little under the weather, hopefully back tomorrow. The Giants have signed Korean outfielder Jung-Hoo Lee, a six-year contract worth $113 million. If you're a casual fan, perhaps you say, I have no idea who that is. Jung-Hoo Lee actually is one of the he's pretty sought after outfielder, center fielder, plays a little, I think he plays left and right, good contact guy. 2022 he was the MVP in the Korean Baseball League, 349, 421, 575 with 23 home runs. Here's what's interesting. I think Jay, you'll especially be interested in this. Lee knew that he was going to be coming to the States this year. So last year, he rebuilt his swing. One of his best friends is Ha-Sung Kim, who's on the Padres. And Ha-Sung Kim, who's been in the States for a few years, told him, he said, dude, when I came over to the majors, I could not catch up to the fastball. could not do it. You're going to have to redo your swing. So he rebuilt his swing last year, and then his numbers turned around about halfway through, but he actually rebuilt his swing in order to get ready to play in the majors this year.
Very smart.
Yeah.
Preparation.
Yeah.
Preparation is one of the best keys to success in life.
Mm-hmm.
So shouts out to Mr. Lee there.
How would you do that, by the way? Just how would you rebuild your swing to make it easier to catch up to the high heat?
Well, two or three different things. It just depends on if his bat was dragging through the zone, if he wasn't catching it out front. You know, I'm not sure. I haven't done my research enough about him to know if he can go the opposite way, you know, in a good deal. And so two or three things is it's all about timing, mechanism, mechanics, right? Opening up your stance a little bit. Cheating the situation. So a lot of times when your bat is dragging through the zone, some people teach you to open up a little more, which means you already have a head start. You know, I've given you a half of a second head start because now I don't have to twist my body so much. It's already open as much, you know. So maybe that was something. Hand position is definitely something. Lighter bats, you know, common sense type stuff when it comes to that. The other part of it, too, is higher elbow, lower elbow, relaxation. You know, that can be something different, too. You know, some people put a lot of stress on the front or back side of your body when you're inside the box. It doesn't have to be that. A lot of times you see so many different things. Some people, you know, you were taught literally to have the high elbow. In reality, you don't need a high elbow. It just all depends on where you start compared to where you finish. And so just depends on, you know, where he was trying to go. A lot of players that come from the Orient side, they tend to lunge.
Hmm.
You know, you look at Ichiro, you look at Shohei, you look at my guy that plays second base. That used to play for the Mariners. I can't think of his name off the top of my head. They lunge at the ball. If you look at a softball player, a young lady, they, you know, that hits from the left side, they tend to be slap hitters. Not hit for power, not sit back on the back half of your body. And so that's one of the things that a lot of players that come from the Orient, they have to learn is to sit down. Ichiro was one of those guys that I'll give you someone who really sat back as someone that came from over across the seas was Hideki Matsui. He was one of those guys known as a power hitter. He set back way more than a lot of players that come from Korea and Japan and China, things like that.
By the way, Ichiro is still very popular. There was a lot of ads we saw when we were just over there a couple weeks ago. Ichiro was all over the place.
Man.
And the thing, it's interesting, Ha-Seong Kim, when he first came over, what was that, 3 years ago now, to the Padres, he really struggled. And then the last 2 years, he's been really
play
good.
Ball.
So he whatever adjustments he made, they worked. And so we'll see if they work for the newest giant. Lee, by the way, he's a contact guy, not a lot of power, considered a plus runner and defender. So the Giants have a new outfielder, Korean star Jung Hoo Lee, 6 years, $113 million. And we'll see if that makes Giants fans feel any better about things. Giants fans are just really unhappy with the state of things right now.
Yeah. Mr. Lee is one of the players. It's, again, as much as I watch baseball and love baseball, I'm not as familiar with. Because,
I just know the name.
I've seen the name a few times. I know he's young, 25 years old, I believe. I don't know enough about him to know the projections, but I do think he's one of those players you have to kind of wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get those, you know, you get players that come from Cuba or Venezuela, you know, if you don't get them young, you kind of get them like Cespedes was a little older. You kind of, like you've seen Ichiro. You pretty much kind of have to see, plug them in and see if they work. And if not, then, you know, you kind of made a bad deal.
Did the Dodgers make a bad deal? Probably not. We'll see. We'll see. They probably made a pretty good deal, made even sweeter when Ohtani decided to defer so much of the money. How about this? If you're looking for
on the
secondary market, standing room tickets for opening day at Dodger Stadium. The Dodgers actually open next year in Korea, but against the Padres. But when they're back at Dodger Stadium, TickPick has available standing room tickets, opening day, Dodger Stadium, for $638 to $827 a piece, fees included.
Wait. I want you to slow down for a minute.
Yes, standing room tickets.
You mean to tell me I have to be on my 10 toes?
Mm-hmm. But you get $638 ones all the way up to $827 on StubHub. two standing room tickets, top deck behind the actual seats, $889 each.
Not even worth it.
I know. I was there that day.
Cares.
Uh-huh.
Who cares?
Uh-huh. The StubHub description says clear view. So.
Yeah, and how about the traffic to get in and out? One way in and one way out. You're going to have to deal with that unless you get the Uber, Lyft, and even then you're still dealing with it. Mm-hmm. On top of that, guaranteed the Dodger dog has just went up $8.
Right.
Guaranteed. You know, the little Sunday in the helmet, that's went up $10.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Here's a better deal, Jay. I can get you in for the Angels home opener.
Yep.
For $22. $36.
$22. Yeah. Front seat, third row.
Yeah. That's not bad.
Down the third baseline.
Yeah. StubHub, let's see, Dodgers home opener, including estimated fees. Again, I know we talked about some of these, $431 standing room top deck. And for seats in the dugout club, that's how you roll. Anywhere between $4,024 this is Jay territory, $9,893 for seats in the dugout.
Are we talking about championship series here? We're talking about opening day.
Ohtani's debut.
A 105 start, probably.
Yeah, sure.
In the middle of Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
At the Ravine.
Mm-hmm.
Coming down to 110 early, or the 5.
Traffic might be an issue.
What? Down to 110 or the 5?
Well, the Dodger fans don't get there until the 4th inning anyway, huh?
Oh, that's Laker fans. You forgot. Yeah. Well, maybe all L.A. fans.
I think it's an L.A.
There isn't a player on earth that would cause me to pay $9,000 to see at any ball game at any night.
No.
There's not a person.
There's not a player not on earth. I mean, if Babe Ruth came back and they said one game only, it's like, I'm not paying $4,000.
Okay, wait a minute. Now, this is a question. There's no one.
on this earth or off this earth?
Oh, yes.
No. Yeah.
Mm.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe one or two. Jackie Robinson. Maybe for me. Maybe Jackie.
I'm embarrassed that I didn't think of him. Yeah.
And.
But no, not Jackie.
I got you. I understand. Listen, you put your foot down, baby. 9K is big time money.
Yeah.
The other is because he was so special and there's so many tales about him. And I grew up reading about him. Satchel Paige.
Oh, okay.
That those might be the two. It's like, you know what? Maybe 9K opening day.
Two people have named one guy. Actually, it's one guy. Sorry.
Okay.
Two different chat messages here. Ted Williams.
Mm. I mean, that young fella.
Yeah. The other thing, let's be honest. Now, if you're going to see Satchel Paige, he's going to pitch. That's one thing.
Yes.
But if you're going to see Ted Williams or Jackie Robinson, it's baseball. They might walk twice, ground out twice, and you're like, that was great, right? I mean, one game in baseball, you just don't know.
Yeah, but they both play defense. You know, Jackie in the infield, Ted in the outfield. I mean, they both play defense. They are top 5-10, depending on, you know, and they're each way. Ted Williams, as far as what he put out, he's top 5, top 10 in probably baseball ever. And Jackie, for what he's done, probably top 5, top 10 as far as personable, you know.
Yeah, for humanity.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. All right, when we come back.
That's a question. Hold on, White. I mean to cut you off.
Yeah, please.
There's not – okay, let's bring it down a little bit. Let's bring the value before you go to break. Is there anyone opening night – and I can't stand the Dodgers. I hate the Dodgers. And I use the word hate.
Sports hate.
Yeah. No, I hate them.
Oh, okay. Real hate. My bad. I really hate them.
To the point, I've never bought a Jackie Robinson jersey because it has the Dodgers. I just can't bring myself to do it. But, and I know he wasn't in Los Angeles. I get it. It says Dodgers still. Is there anyone that you, on opening night, let's just say opening night, currently that walks the earth with us, that you would pay $2,500 for? Think about it before you go to break. That might be our question of the day right there.
All right, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hit us up on the chat. Also, when we come back, they're raising another banner in L.A. Speaking of L.A., next year with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.